Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out, procrastination, putting it off, kicking the can down the road. In, plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out, carpet in the bathroom. Like, why? In, knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
Looking to improve your diet in the new year? Try seeing a personal dietitian with Nourish. Nourish has hundreds of dietitians who specialize in a variety of health concerns, including weight loss, gut health, and more. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans. 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Find your personal dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Vinny and Haney on Sports Radio 105.7 The Fan.
Paven Smith, high in the air to right. He got enough. That ball is going to splash down. Paven to the pool. And the next pitch to Josh Naylor will also leave. Back-to-back pitches. And the Diamondbacks have exploded in this fifth inning.
Right now, like you said, it's getting hit. But, you know, I still feel like I'm putting it in good locations. And, you know, sometimes they don't get hit, and sometimes they do get hit. And just knowing when to mask it behind some other stuff.
Not really. I mean, it's a new year. We all came in with a new mindset and coming into the year. And we all prepared for the season. And, you know, we got a lot of games left.
This wasn't our best road trip. Didn't catch a lot of breaks. We need to pitch better out of the rotation also to give our guys an opportunity. But we need to be, we should be scoring more runs than we are, and we need to have more competitive at-bats.
Well, that's Brandon Hyde, Orioles manager. That was yesterday afternoon in Arizona, stating the obvious. This team needs to play better. As they have a unsuccessful road trip. They get blown out yesterday. See, I'm measuring my words because I don't want to fire the cannons off right out of the gate. Ryan Ripken, Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Ryan is in for Vinny today and tomorrow. And, of course, every Friday, it's ripping it with Rip, ripping it with Ryan.
There we go.
I'll get that
we'll
right.
We'll get it right.
I'll get that right sooner or later. So Ryan Ripken is here. If you want to join us, you can at 410-583-1057. Nolan McGraw, other side of the glass. Look. And I'm usually a rational thinker. I used to be irrational for many, many years. But when it comes to sports especially, there are bigger picture scenarios out there. But still, you want your teams to succeed.
Mm-hmm.
And when they fail over the course of nine innings, yes, I'm bleep this, bleep that, he sucks, this guy. And then you wait, you get a couple minutes to reflect, and then you go, all right, let's assess the 27 outs, and then we'll come to some sort of a conclusion about an individual game. But we're 13 games into this season. And we knew, we'll start with the pitching, Ryan. We knew that was going to be a problem or a concern, shall we say. You lost Corbin Burnes, and we'll talk about him because you talked to him. And we're going to have some of that for you later in the show. You knew it was a concern. Then it got more concerning when Grayson Rodriguez went down in spring training. Because I'm talking like mid-February here. Well, you got Eflin, you have Grayson. You know, you sign Morton. You like Povich, Sagano. You don't really know what you're getting, but he was successful in Japan. Grayson goes down. Then it's like, okay. Well, Morton's quality pitcher, great postseason track record. concern I had, 41. How many tosses are left in that right arm of his? And Epling got off to the fabulous start to the season. Now he's done. Sagano goes tomorrow, weather permitting. Povich, who's, look, he got him through six, but gave up 13 hits. Defense didn't do him any favors in Kansas City. You know, Ryan Ripken. We knew starting pitching was going to be somewhat of an ish question mark. And that was like the one thing that the experts had with your, can they, do they have somebody to replace Burns? Can they get people out? And we're 13 games in now, minus the one guy that you could count on. Or what DEFCON level are we at here on April the 10th?
Oh man, this is the conversation I wanted to hop into this morning, right, Bob? But we need to talk about it because I do understand why the last 2 years, the Orioles really won most of their series. I know we saw the last 2024, the last 3 months or so, but granted at that time, injuries piled up and a lot of the young players faced adversity. But let's go back to the pitching side for a moment. The Orioles on the starting staff, you kind of knew it was going to be the weakness going in. That's not taking a shot at any of the guys, but just look how the roster's constructed. You don't have Kyle Bradish, who isn't a top, in my opinion, he's healthy, Bob. He's a top five pitcher in the American League. Grayson Rodriguez has the ceiling to be a top five, but let's put him in the top 15. Zach Eflin was the one anchor you needed. Now he's down. And the problem now is you have just other question marks around the team. You mentioned Charlie Morton. Look, Charlie Morton had his best outing of the season last start, but it still wasn't a great outing, but it was the best one he had. And you're going to have to ride with him whether you like it or not because of the circumstances. You don't have the guys. The one issue that I have is you are going to have to put a lot of pressure on some of these other guys that are not proven at the big league level. So Sagano, I actually feel pretty good with him. I think that he bounced back really well in Kansas City, and he showed you why he came over here. But Cade Povich is still a young pitcher. You know, then you're looking at Dean Kramer that has historically not gotten off to fast starts, and we saw it again last night. So the bigger issue for me is that the starters can't go deep in the games. The bullpen, which is supposed to be a strength, and take out two pitchers here. And Selby got rocked a little bit, but Perez?
Yeah.
The bullpen's pitched pretty well.
Yeah, sub-2 earn run average other than CNL going into yesterday's game.
Exactly. But the problem's going to be if this starting rotation can't get deeper into games, and you got to play from behind, the pressure's going to mount on a lot of guys that are still trying to understand what it means to be a big leaguer. And that doesn't come just instantly. You're going to need help getting to that point. Does that make sense?
Yeah. But let me ask you this. You mentioned Bradish and Grayson. Mm-hmm. And I hearken back to the good old days of 2023.
Yeah.
Which we'll get to during the whip. Second half of that season, 5 lowest ERAs in baseball. Second half, starting pitcher, Grayson Rodriguez, Kyle Bradish, Corbin Burns.
Mm-hmm.
Then with Milwaukee. And we thought that was kind of going to be the 2024 calling card for the Orioles. And then Bradish and Grayson got hurt. So if I want to look at a silver lining, perhaps, when do we expect Grayson back? Kyle Bradish, they're assuming his rehab is going the way they had hoped, but to the point where he comes in, rips off the old Clark Kent jacket, the Superman jersey, and saves you in September, in October. I don't know, dude. I'm not feeling that level of optimism.
Well, this is the reality here in baseball. You can look at different facets of the game, okay? You have to be dominant, and I mean really dominant in one thing. Let's go back to the Rangers who won the World Series in 23 for a second. The Rangers' offense was dominant. Their bullpen, not so dominant. Their starting staff lost to Grom. They had issues even when they traded for Scherzer. He goes down until the playoffs, but when they were healthy, their offense was lethal. Carried them to the World Series when they got healthy. Yes, and their pitching was better. But that offense was lethal. If you don't have something that's so dominant, you got to have two things that are your your foundation. And for the Orioles, for this team, if it's not going to be your starting pitching, because we're already X-ing that off.
Yeah, I'm going with that.
Your three other facets, it's going to be your position players, which is going to include hitting and defense. That's why I'm saying two. And then your bullpen has to be rock solid. Bullpen's being rock solid right now. I got to give them credit. They're being rock solid. But then the offense and even the defense, I mean, they're not playing very fundamentally right now either. So if they're not being very good at the two other elements that you need them to be good at, that's why you're going to lose to better teams. Like Boston, Arizona, these teams are going to compete the rest of the year. Kansas City. But if you don't play to a higher level with your other strengths that you need to have, you're going to find yourself losing games. But I'm the optimist here. We're going to find out more about this team in a month. But for right now, that's why they're dropping these games.
Well, they stink. I mean, their best game right now, the best game they played all year was Monday. Nolan, get in here because Nolan's percolating. But you mentioned the smarts of the team, and they've been it's a team that fundamentally they're as sound as any in baseball for the most part. I mean, O'Hearn getting tossed at second on the pass ball. I mean, it just takes them out of an inning, and they can't get the clutch hit, and it's just they don't seem to be playing with baseball IQ that we've come to accept and expect the last couple of years here, going back to second half of 22.
Right. They don't resemble a playoff team. They don't resemble, right now, a World Series contender, which is what the front office would view themselves as, but they don't resemble it right now. And blame goes all around. You know, there's no one area that you can point to and say, well, that's the reason they're losing. You know, I'm not going to sit here and say that, well, it's Brandon Hyde's fault, or it's Mike Elias's fault, or it's the lineup. It's everything. Everyone's got to get it together. And they're not in good shape. And the outlook isn't good. It's the reality of the situation. I don't care if you're 5-8. Other teams out there are off to slow starts. It's not just the record. It's the outlook. You don't even have a fifth starter right now. I mean, they don't have pitching. They don't have what they need to be competitive. And, they can add at the deadline. They can add people later on. Well, you got to get there first. You got 3 months until we get there. Right now, they're not even going to be 500 by the time they get to the deadline. This is overreaction, this, that. I'm watching this team. I saw a lifeless team yesterday. I saw their faces in the dugout after the game. They're done. And in the next couple months, I think everything you need to know about this team is going to be revealed this weekend against Toronto. If they wilt and they lose this series, full-on panic button.
Wow.
It's done.
What do you think, Ryan Ripken? Now, people say Nolan doesn't show any emotion. Well, that's like Sam Kinison compared to what he normally does, but that's a guy that's ready to stick a fork in him, and we're not even at the Easter holiday yet.
I got a little scared in here. I felt Nolan's piercing eyes. I wanted to hide
through that window
through the window. But
he's the one that's going to snap when it's all said.
But you know what, Nolan? You're not the only one that feels this way in Baltimore, right? Like, I've heard social media, if you're surprised about this, Bob, there's a lot of other comments of serious panic and worry, and because you're looking at it, and I get it, right? Who is going to be that guy? Is Kyle Gibson, who I know is going to make the start today down in Norfolk in the rehab, can he come and help this team in more ways than one? Because he was a big part in the clubhouse, but they need him on the field. But the problem is, what people are wondering is it going to get better? And I said this even earlier, and we talked about, again, those parts, the big part of the position player side. Your young guys, they got to step up and be your studs. If your offense is going to be your force, you're going to have to step up. And it doesn't help that Gunnar Henderson didn't have a spring training. I can tell you that right now. Gunnar looks as frustrated as everybody right now out there playing. So we'll see what happens. But Nolan, you're not the only one feeling that way in Baltimore. But I think over the next 30 days, we're really going to see if this Baltimore Orioles team can turn it around or they might have different reservations as we move into the summer.
Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw is on the other side of the glass. Vinny and Haney. Vinny's in St. Louis. Charlie's team, Penn State, playing in the Frozen Four. And obviously, we'll keep you up to date on how that goes over the next couple of days. They play tonight. But if you want to vent about the Orioles, we're listening. Hey, if you want to talk us off, I haven't even started to vent, by the way. If you want to get us off the ledge, feel free to get in at 410-583-1057. It's Total Request Thursday. That means you pick a song, we'll play it here on the Fan.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vinny, he's in St. Louis with Charlie and Penn State. They're in the pros at 4, trying to win a national championship. They're like this Cinderella team. In the tournament, they're the NC State of 1983.
Oh, hey now. Good reference right there.
Trying to pull some upset magic. But Orioles hit 6 home runs on opening day, which tied a team record. Since then, in the 12 games, they've hit 6 home runs. Since counting last Thursday, which is a week ago today, against the Red Sox, when Cedric went deep and then O'Hearn went deep on Monday. They've hit 2 home runs. So you mentioned the offense. We expected that they were going to be able to put up crooked numbers and do some things. In the 13 games they played, they've scored 3 runs or less 7 times. They've already been shut out twice, and they've hit into a ton of double plays. Correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan or Nolan. Weren't they last in baseball in double plays?
That's correct. Last year.
And this year, they're by far number one.
16 and 13 games.
Ah.
Feels good.
Yeah. So, Ryan Ripken, break on the old Charlie Lau, Terry Crowley hat and give us an idea of what's going on with that.
Well, look, you know, we heard that, hey, you know, don't live and die by the long ball. Well, if the long ball is a part of your game, you still need to live by it to an extent, right? You know, that is the reality. And you got a lot of pop in the lineup. I think the bigger part is what's happening is when they are rolling on all cylinders, they're having the 2-out hits. They're executing with runners in scoring position. They're getting a guy over. They're getting him in. That's the old baseball phrase. But when things aren't rolling, it just seemed like it's disconnected. And you talk about maybe even taking yourself out of situations for a bigger inning, whether it's a base running miscue, whether it's doing those little things to extend innings. So it's that combination. You know, the double play thing, you know, part of that you could say, I have to go back and look at the metrics of how hard some of those balls were hit. You know, if you hit a ball hard at someone, I can live with that. I can. But is it crushing? Yeah, you're dang right it is. It deflates a team when you hit into a double play. Can't tell you how many times when you're in the field and you turn a double play and how much that can bring a team's morale back up. But looking at this team, we mentioned it earlier, but I wanted to emphasize again, your stars have to lead, right? And obviously Adley got off to the big start. Ryan Mountcastle got off to a great start. Cedric Mullins, Tyler O'Neill. But the one that's going to take a little bit of time here, it's Gunnar Henderson. He is your guy. He is at the top of the lineup. But Bobby didn't have a spring training to get his at-bats in.
Right.
And so it's hard when you're looking at it. I'm not saying there's a catalyst to a lineup. But Gunnar Henderson really, to me, is going to be that guy because he is an MVP-type player. And if he's not playing well, yeah, your offense is going to have some struggles.
And they've been struggling. Let's get out to the phones. People want to vent. 410-583-1057 is the number. It's Total Request Thursday. Pick a song. We'll play it starting 11 o'clock. Get your votes in. Featured Artist Friday. Let's go to Arnold and Kevin. Kevin, thanks for holding. What's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I join everybody in just being a little down about this team right now. So my big concern is they just look so similar to that second half team of last year, and how it just seemed like there was no leadership. The guys were going out there, you know, we were all accusing them. Are they even trying? When you know they are, it's just really disheartening to watch them right now. And I don't know if it's, personally, I don't think Hyde does anything. I think Elias literally does everything. I think he controls the lineups and everything. So I don't know if it's an issue in the clubhouse or what's going on. Obviously, I know the pitching, you know, the injuries and everything. But when you go out and get 41-year-old Charlie Morton, then you kind of got to expect a few things like this. But it really is tough to see. And honestly, Ryan, speaking for a lot of fans here, a lot of people are just hoping that your dad comes in and saves the day, because I'm serious. It really is. Like, I don't know if Elias, I really don't know what they're doing. And it's one of those things where you're like, all right, our hometown hero has some ownership stakes in the team. So please save this team. And also, Ryan, Big Ben Smallenbrook says hey. So thanks for your time.
Thanks, Kevin.
Appreciate it. Oh, Big Ben, how about that? That was a guy I used to play with growing up. But can I take this for a second,
Go
Bob?
Ahead,
just
man.
So, like, Kevin, I understand it. And look, people care about this team because the Orioles have been a staple here for so long.
It's the fabric of Baltimore.
Yeah, and also, the team was bad for a decade and a half. For me growing up, 97 to 2012, they didn't have a winning season. And now, we move forward. I know we had the Buck Showalter era, but the last 3 years, you've had three winning seasons, which they've had, two straight playoff appearances, and you want to feel like you're still moving in that direction. And I think that's the part right now of going, oh no, are we going to slip back into what we've seen in the past? I think that's everyone's worst fear. I want to talk a little bit about, because I want to be fair to Hyde and Elias here, things that I know, and being in the system, early on, they're going to give guys some rest. Whether it's I like it or not, like, I don't like when a guy has three hits and they go, hey, we're going to sit you the next day. Because if you're seeing the ball well, I know you want to give guys opportunities. It's kind of hard to replicate if someone's, the ball's beach ball size to some hitters. But they do have scheduled days early on, and that's intentional. That's an organizational thing. And Hyde does have more control over the lineup than I think people understand. But the off days, you're right, that's a combination.
Well, what is the Elias influence on the day-to-day lineup there? And Ken Singleton's going to be joining us a couple minutes, as a matter of fact. Earl Weaver would lose his mind if Harry Dalton or Frank Cashin or Hank Peters said, well, I want you to play Joe Blow here. Earl,
yeah.
He'd have blew smoke in his face and told him to get out of his office.
Well, I think when you sign certain guys, there's an understanding earlier on, we got to give them an opportunity. So if the front office is bringing in some of these players that are going to be role players or such, we talked about the outfielders specifically, okay, you got to give them the opportunity. I think down the stretch, Hyde is going to be the guy that is going to be the one that makes the decision. It still is his call. But when it comes to load management, and that's the biggest thing that you just mentioned of, well, you're to tell me you're not feeling good. Earl, you're right. Earl would be like, hey, tough luck. You're in there.
Yeah.
We need you. That's a different philosophy than it was. But to be honest, we're not going to see that across baseball, at least not with the Baltimore Orioles.
It's Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan. Vinny's off next 2 days, but Ryan Ripken is in, and we're talking Orioles, who lose last night or yesterday, 9-0, get swept by the Diamondbacks. Orioles have yet to win a series here in 2025. Oriole Hall of Famer, Sweet Swinging Kenny Singleton joins us bottom of the hour. If you want to get in, you can. You want to vent? I'll listen to the vent. I'm kind of on your side right now. Ryan's the one that's going to keep us all calm, cool, collected. You know, everything. All's right with the world. Even Nolan's ready to stick a fork in. If it's a sprint, the Orioles fell down out of the starting gate. So they're trying to dust themselves off and get ready to rock and roll. He's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He's Oriole Hall of Famer. He is Sweet Swinging Kenny Singleton. Ken, good morning. What is up?
Bob, Rip, how you doing?
Well, doing better than the Orioles offense right now, Ken Singleton. But I mean, you played in the league, you're a multiple-time All-Star World Champ. I don't need to read your resume. Maybe I do because a lot of our audience, they're a little on the younger side. But 13 games in, concerns that you had are kind of becoming real. Now you've had injuries compound them. When do you start looking at the Orioles as a team that might be more flawed than we anticipated?
Well, you're right about the injuries. I mean, anytime you have pitchers that are out, you know, that's the mainstay of your team. I mean, those are the guys who hold the opposition down and give you a chance to win on a daily or nightly basis. And right now, when you have guys that are out and you're relying on, you know, Charlie Morton, who's now your number one pitcher, and he hasn't really shown that much thus far, it's going to be a struggle. I just think that it's a long season. Things can get turned around. I mean, they've only played, what, 13 games or so, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's a long year. And even back in the heyday, I can remember us getting off to fairly slow starts and, you know, then eventually turning around. But we didn't have to deal with all these injuries. And another thing, you know, the pitching staffs nowadays are built differently. I mean, you know, every fourth day we could go to Jim Palmer. And usually that was a win day. And whenever we were struggling, like the Orioles are now, Earl Weaver would have these meetings, and he'd go off in the meetings about how poorly we were playing. But he always seemed to have those meetings on days when Palmer would pitch. So he knew what he was doing. And we go out and win and start to turn things around, start to hit the ball a little bit better. You know, I was one of these players that I usually didn't get off very well in April because I didn't like playing in cold weather, even though I grew up north. I just didn't like playing in cold weather. When the weather starts to warm up, that's when I would warm up, and I think maybe you'll see that with this Oriole team too.
Now, Ken, you mentioned Earl Weaver, and we were talking, a caller last segment called in, wanted Cal to come in and save the day and all of these things. But when it comes to making lineups, and you were the Yankees organization for many years, and of course George Steinbrenner, maybe next to Charlie Finley, the most meddling owner of all time. But if Hank Peters, Harry Dalton, Frank Cashin, whomever, came in Earl and said, hey, I want you to play Joe Blow in center field today because, you know, I've got a hunch, Earl would have responded, how?
You hear me laughing, right? I figure Earl ran the ship. There was no doubt about who was the leader of the team. I think that on a daily basis, he made out the lineup. He decided who would play. Of course, he had his sheets. I remember he before computerized printouts and all this sort of thing, he'd have a sheet of paper who did well against whatever pitcher we were facing that day. And I can recall one day we were facing Minnesota, and I just went in his office to look and see where I was against Jeff Zahn, who we were facing that day. And I looked at 333, and I think I had a home run. I said, that's not bad. You know, I looked at the sheet. I was the low man on the team. Everybody else was hitting 400 and 500 against this guy. And by the second inning, he was out of the game. And I can remember Earl saying, the man never had a chance. And Earl knew who could hit who. So that's who played that day, and nobody else was going to change it.
Ken, great chatting with you. Speaking of hitting then on that case, right, and this is the conversation Bob and I just had, you know, in the analytics now and playing matchups, there's one thing of going, hey, this guy's better against righties or lefties. But then there's also the human element of, well, this guy we have hidden, regardless of matchup, he's seeing the ball really well. I always found it hard to take a guy out after having three knocks in a game, right? How do you view that? Because it's such a tightrope to walk. But I know that you understand when you're in that zone, it's hard to find someone coming off the bench that can necessarily match that.
That's very true. I think that there's room for both. You know, over the years, you know, analytics, I mean, they're just numbers. But players, you're right, Ryan, they have heartbeats. You know who's playing well. And if you're a manager and you see a guy just smacking the ball around, I got to keep him in there, especially if the team is struggling. You know, you're looking for anything to get your team going. And, you know, there's little things could add up to victories, like even a broken bat single with the bases loaded. I mean, it's not the greatest hit in the world, but a little thing like that can get the team going, thinking things are going to start to go their way. And, you know, maybe somebody making a great play in the field that saves a couple of runs, or a pitcher coming out of the bullpen and getting people out with the bases loaded and getting out of a big jam. Sometimes those are the little things that can turn things around for a team. And, you know, that's what I would look for this Oriole team right now, who just seems to be struggling on all fronts. I mean, they're not really hitting. The starting pitching hasn't been that good. The bullpen's been okay, I guess, not great. So right now it's just a team-wide struggle, and they're better than this. And I think fans have to feel that way as they go forward.
Yeah, and to go off of that, it's definitely the feeling we've had talking this morning with really everyone, people I talked with last night, the callers this morning. Bob is hanging in there on his emotions left and right.
I haven't gone to Mount St. Haney yet there, Ken.
But Ken, at least on this case, and you mentioned earlier, but you know, for these players then, I think the other part that we forget, there is a lot of young, talented players that are still trying to handle this type of failure and adversity. Maybe if you just have some advice on, you know, how would you handle that? Because I think for this young core, this team's going to go as far as they go. Yes, injuries to an extent, but they're going to need some of their young stars to step up. What's the best case you think for them to kind of take a deep breath and get back on track?
Well, first of all, the manager has to keep the clubhouse positive, number one. I think Brandon Hyde has to, you know, come in there every day and just get them prepared the best way he can to play. I think number two is that the veteran players that they do have who have been through it, you know, they've been through it for a while, more so than the younger guys, don't show any signs of panic. You're doing this almost on an everyday basis. And you've got a chance to – Earl used to say winning streaks are comprised of one-game winning streaks. Think about the game today. Go out and win that one. Worry about – it didn't matter what happened yesterday, and you can't control what's going to happen tomorrow because we're not even there yet. So worry about what's going on today on a daily basis. Forget everything else and go from that point.
Oriole Hall of Famer Ken Singleton, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, talking to Orioles here on this Total Request Thursday. Last thing for you, Ken. When I say torpedo bats, what do you think?
Oh, I wish I had one. Yeah, I really do. It looks like they work. You know, if I could say one more thing about the division itself, you know, this division's even tougher this year, I think. So the Orioles are going to have to get it going soon. I think Boston's better. The Yankees, they're sort of like the Orioles. They've got some pitching injuries, but they've also got Judge, who's already driven in 20 runs. So they got their own problems, too. Toronto's okay. The Rays can pitch. You know, this is going to be an interesting year all the way around. The Orioles just have to get it together and keep their head above water because it's going to be tough this year.
Oriole Hall of Famer Ken Singleton, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, 105.7 The Fan, seeing you. Always great to talk to you. Hey, how's the new car? Because I know people.
you know what? I took my other car out of the garage and put this one in it. So you guys are everywhere. Yeah.
That's right. We're the eye in the sky here on The Fan. Great talking to you, Ken.
Thanks, Ken.
My pleasure, guys.
All right, see ya. Ken Singleton, Oriole Hall of Famer, Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken. Vinny's in St. Louis with Charlie's Penn State Nittany Lions in the pros before they play tonight. Check it out on ESPN2. So maybe they should get those torpedo bats. Bob Haney, Ryan Ripken, Nolan McGraw. Vinny's in St. Louis with the Penn State hockey team and his son Charlie. But people want to vent. Let's get out to it. Go to Derek in East Baltimore. Derek, thanks for holding. What's happening?
Morning, Bob. Morning, Ryan.
Morning.
Listen. I'm going to need a pep talk this morning because listen, I'm hanging off the cliff with one pinky finger, man. Listen. So my thing with this team is that they've been consistently playing like this since, the middle of June of last year. And, you know, I'm not a mathematician by any stretch of the imagination, but I'm pretty sure that's close to 90-plus games that this team has been playing like this. That's not an anomaly. When you have a team consistently playing the way that this team has been playing for that long, that's a pretty good telling of who you are. And you can make the argument that this team is significantly worse than last year, particularly in the pitching. I mean, so I want to stay positive, Bob, and I really do, man. But the thing that the biggest issue that I have with Elias, with all that he's been able to do since he's been here, my biggest gripe with him is that he doesn't place enough premium on pitching, in my opinion. Now, I seen that report came out the other day about, you know, the money that they offered Corbin Burns, right? Why couldn't we have taken that same money and got an Evaldi or, you know, did what the Red Sox did and got Crochet? I understand that last year was the most innings that Crochet ever pitched, right? But you can also say that the kid was given an opportunity and he did damn well with the opportunity that he was given last year. So why couldn't we have done that? Like, I'm not understanding that. But, you know, I just hang up and listen to you guys' opinions. I appreciate it.
All right, Derek, appreciate the call as always. And you want positivity, it's coming right now from Ryan Ripken. So talk him down a little bit. Can I interject real quick?
Oh, yeah, of course, Bob.
A year ago at this time, you had Corbin Burns on his way to starting the All-Star game. You had Grayson Rodriguez on his way to 13 wins before the injuries kind of kicked him in the short ones. Kramer had some injury problems. Mm-hmm. Bradish was on his way back. There were some other things coming together, and the offense was the best in baseball for about, 3 months?
Mm-hmm.
2.5 at least. This year, and he did make a good point. We've got a sample size of sub-500 baseball, too.
And you know what? That is something that is true. If you're going to go off of last year to this year, how the team has played in regular season games and a couple postseason games, short-lived, but a couple postseason games, you're saying they're going, well, are they the same problems? Which in some cases, the theme is what, Bob? Inconsistency on offense and, you know, not putting a full game together, not playing fundamentally of what you want it to be. I'm not going to sugarcoat and say that there isn't pitching concerns with the injuries. That's a problem. The Zach Eflin loss hurts. But here's where I'm going to be a little bit positive. This is where the pep talk comes in, okay? Why I don't want to jump to say that it's the same as the end of last year to this year is because the circumstances are different with some of the guys. So let me give you the example. Last year when Jackson Holliday was playing for the Orioles, he had a lot of struggles. Even down the stretch, he wasn't playing every day. Jackson Holliday looks like he's very comfortable at second base, is starting to put things together. That's a positive. Adley Rutschman looks like Adley overall, what he was the first half of last year, and not the second half. You know, Cedric Mullins looks good. Tyler O'Neill is off to a good start. And then, by the way, your MVP of your team, Gunnar Henderson, is trying to get his spring training reps right now in the big leagues when games matter. So he's struggling. He's, 4-for-25, Bob, I think, if I looked at it right. So where I'm going to have optimism is that this lineup needs to be better. But there are positive signs that show me that it can. And the last thing I'll say is the starting pitching has been rough. But outside of Perez, we mentioned it earlier, the bullpen's been very good. So I'm not saying that this can't be the same problems. They very well could still be a below 500 team in a month. Or some things could slowly get together as we progress. So that's my pep talk, Bob. I hope that helps you, Derek.
All right, real quick. You're right, 4-for-25 for Gunshow. 10 Ks, one walk. There's kind of an inch. Are you buying what Ryan's selling, Nolan McGraw? We'll get into that at 11 o'clock. If you're on the phones, feel free to join us. You want to bet? I'm listening. I'm not to your level of they're only going to win 70 games. They suck. You got to fire Elias. Brandon Hyde's overrated. He's just been along for. I'm not buying that at all. But there are red flags, and more red flags than orange flags right now with the Orioles.